The order for baptism that we used this morning comes from the Church of Scotland Book of Common Order 1994. As part of that order, you will have heard that once a child has been baptised, parents are encouraged to tell the child of their baptism and then to unfold to them the treasure that they've been given in baptism. The Abbey Church is fortunate, and I don't think we all realise how fortunate we are in that baptism is still a relatively common practice within this congregation. And because of that, I suspect that we hear those words and watch baptisms and don't always grasp the importance of what we hear and see or what those words might mean for us. For in every baptism, there's an opportunity to revisit our own baptism, the baptisms we have seen, the promises that are made, and as we do today, the baptism of Jesus. It's very special as a minister to be afforded the opportunity to participate in baptism, and in a good number of cases, be aware of how the children grow and adapt in the years to come. It's equally special to be allowed the opportunity to sit on the other side and share the joy of family and friends welcoming a wee one and remembering love. However, the story I want to tell of baptism is not a baby, but of my best friend at high school. Gillian and I met on our very first day at high school. We were both returning to Scotland from living in England and were entering high school partway through second year. I started school in Edinburgh, and when my parents brought us back from England, they moved to an area we'd lived in before, and so we returned to friends we'd known since nursery. Gillian was originally from Aberdeen and entirely new to the area. As we were taken to our new class, Gillian was put into the seat next to the girl who had been my best friend at primary school. Needless to say, that meant that these early days of our relationship were fraught as we both tried to settle into a new school and she claimed my friendships. By the beginning of third year, we'd begun to work out some of the strangeness, and it wasn't long before we were inseparable and often found taking in much of Edinburgh on bicycles. I had decided I would go to the Christian Union, and Gillian decided that she would come along too. Now, to be honest, I suspect that much of our interest in the Christian Union had more to do with boys than any particularly strong religious conviction. But it did give us a safe social life that included being in a band and revolved around a Baptist church, because that's where the boys went to church. For both of us, the boy element diminished as we enjoyed the wealth of friendship that we were to find amongst people who were not the same age as us. Gillian, who'd never been baptised as a child, took the decision that faith mattered to her and that she was prepared to encounter what it meant to be part of that community. She'd been told that the person who met her from the water after her baptism should be someone that she felt had encouraged her faith and would continue to do so. And she picked me. A surprise and such a generous thing to do. Watching an adult baptism is a moving experience, for in that moment we sense the vulnerability of the baptised. Stepping into the waters, they place their hands into the hands of the one who will baptise them and trust that that person will not take them under the water, but bring them up. Of course, the symbolism in that action is fairly overwhelming, for in their baptism, the baptised place their hands in God's and trust that he'll lead them out of the water to new life refreshed by him. In sinking under the water, the baptised is washed of their old ways to rise to new ways. The waters bring death to old and birth to the new. Watching any baptism should stir up emotions for us about what it means to be made new in Christ. And as a congregation, this morning we've been on the banks of the Jordan, both in Scripture, but here in the presence of an infant, to witness the baptism of Jesus being replayed. Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism is pictorially vivid so that we might see ourselves watching the events of a day in which God enters the ordinary of human life. Four short verses allow us to envision the rugged wild man John struggle with why Jesus wants to be baptized. Matthew doesn't tell us that John and Jesus might be cousins, but he does indicate that John has a sense of who Jesus might be, and he wants to be baptized by Jesus. But Jesus is insistent that it's he who is to be baptized. As he ascends from the waters, the heaven opens, the Spirit of God descends as a dove, a voice is heard declaring Jesus as the Beloved. Just because our imagination allows the action to play out, it doesn't mean we are comfortable with the images. They seem fanciful, beyond belief. These kind of things don't happen in our experiences. The theologian John Dominic Crossan suggests that we're not the only ones who have struggled with the story of Jesus' baptism. For the early church, it was seen as an acute embarrassment because it was too ordinary. Water, doves, light were ordinary elements of everyday life. And yet we were to believe that these were the ways in which God proclaimed that he was present in Jesus Christ. As we heard from the prophet Isaiah, though, the servant that God would send would come in vulnerability and compassion, not with overwhelming power. In the use of the ordinary elements of everyday life, the presence of God in Jesus Christ demonstrates that this servant is for all people. The waters at the mitveh, the point where the holy waters of Jordan met the waters from other lands, cascade over Jesus. And in doing what ordinary Jews did for purification and foreigners did as a process of entry into Jewish faith, Jesus demonstrates that his presence is for all. It's interesting that when we hear of dove, we think of the spirit of creation, or the dove who brings the promise of land at the end of the flood story. But for a Roman convert to Judaism, doves were an embodiment of deity. Again, Judaism and the worldly symbolism collide to ensure that the person hearing the story of Jesus' baptism encounters the presence of God. Each of the elements of the story allows an epiphany moment of who Jesus might be. We might encounter them, see them for what they are, and then hurry to run away. For the truth they reveal and invite from us at times can be seen difficult to respond to. We're invited to glimpse God's love, majesty, and power, and it scares us. Or perhaps it seems so far beyond us that we fail to recognize what we've been given in baptism. For us today, baptism seems easy. It's a small amount of water administered safely from a bowl onto the forehead of an infant. Yet prior to the 4th century, being baptized meant becoming part of a despised illegal religion that offered the potential of being persecuted. It took place in dangerous places, in rough or diseased waters, with the potential of ill health and death looming. Yet even with all of that threat, people wanted to be baptized because they recognized the importance of acknowledging God's love and then living as those who were loved. In the safety of our church building, with the presence of a child, we're taken to the ordinary elements of water, light, and voice, and told that very special thing, that we are the beloved of God, because God loves us before we ever know we are loved. We're adored, caressed, cherished into life. And when the story of Jesus' baptism is told, when the story of our baptisms are told, we remember we are adored and cherished because in our ordinariness, God is transforming us, that the chaos and looming threats of our lives might be the very moments when real justice and love are offered through our lives. Some of you will know that at the beginning of this year, the Scottish Government have started a new initiative. And if you have had a newborn within the past few days, you will have received a baby box. Stephanie and Ross have missed out on this opportunity. You'll have received a baby box. And there's all sorts of goodies in that box, more than you've ever had before. A real recognition that life is important and how we start life is important. Perhaps a moment in which we should remember that life is important and how we start life is important, that we should be cherished from cradle to grave. As part of that baby box, there's a wee poem. And that poem I'm going to read to you as a wee reminder from God that you are the beloved of God, that we are the beloved of God, cherished from childhood to death. It's by Jackie Kay and it's called Welcome, Wee One. Oh, my darling wee one, at last you're here in the world, and with all your wisdom, you're een bricht as the stars. You've filled this hoose with licht, your trusty wee horn, your globe o' a heed, my cherished ane, my heart's ain. Oh, my wee darling one, the hail world welcomes you. The moon glows, the hearth warms. Let your life hae luck, health, charm. You are my bonny blessed bairn, my small miraculous gift. I never kent love like this. Amen.